Hey everybody, what's going on? It's ScottyDoo32 here. I don't even know why I still use that name when I introduce podcasts, because I haven't gone by that in a while on the show. I usually say Scott, or Scotty, or whoever else is around me. But yes, if you're listening to this, you're probably like, oh my gosh, Scott, this is totally a late April Fool's joke. The anime show is back. Alright, Scott, you're going to do this like once, and then 7 months later you do it again, which three of you are thinking, probably you, James, and maybe you, Gary. Probably Gary, because he's usually a dick. But this is the real deal this time. I finally have a co-host. No dreams of a co-host like it once was, where I was every night waking up saying, I've only had a co-host. I had two ports in my mixer. Only one was filled. No, that's very sexually sounding. That is terrible. But yes, the super awesome megaphone anime show is back, and I'm your anime shogun, Scott, with my co-host here,
Erica Sabo, because I believe in you.
Look at that. I'm already have a tear to my eye. So yes, this is Erica, which hello. Some of you, if you've listened to These Warriors Are Terrible, might remember from the most recent RPG we did, Neon Genesis Evangelion, which is very funny enough that we are doing an anime podcast now.
Hell yeah.
Meta is shit.
Mm-hmm.
I think
it was meant to be.
I think so.
It was totally meant to be.
I'm just kidding. It's actually a Hungarian culture podcast. We're gonna talk about paprika and sausages and
krumplish palacinta.
And no one there is gonna get it.
And all that yummy stuff.
Some pogacha,
virshli,
pig salami, racket krumpli.
The pig salami.
Everything's gonna be good.
Good job.
But yes, the show is real. This is not an anomaly. This is actually happening here. So let's get some introductions in the way. Erica's right here. I'm Scott. We've introduced ourselves. Mm-hmm. Now we can do something else. But since this being our inaugural podcast, we thought what would be a better idea than to explain to you who we really are and kind of our history with anime, manga, and the whole genre of enjoyable entertainment. Mm-hmm. So I'm Scott, and I do podcasts on This Week in Geek. That's all you need to know about me. I make pizzas on the side. I am a man. I don't really know what else to tell people about myself.
I'm a man.
I am a man.
You're a manly man.
You may know me from such podcasts as This Week in Geek Topic Shows, Movie Madness, before David Dennis left and went to Taiwan. Who knows why? And some other podcasts I once did. Erica?
I have a mustache.
She has a mustache, and that's what you need to know about her. Is she is a woman with a mustache.
Yeah. No, I do a YouTube channel where I talk about Japanese niche games, all kinds of games, and
particularly like hentai dress simulators.
Yeah, that's exactly.
Newgrounds, exactly, mature
yeah.
section.
Yeah. No, I do mostly JRPGs, and then I do a bit of anime as well, which I just recently integrated. Something I wanted to do for a while. Yeah. I've been working in the gaming industry for the past 5 years. I was originally doing more blogging, which I still do a bit of here and there, but I've kind of transitioned into YouTube, which has been very fun, and doing podcasts. I do a lot of podcasts.
I know. Like, every time I talk to you, like, okay, Scott, I can't talk to you. I have to do a 4-hour discussion about Final Fantasy tonight.
That was an intense episode, too. Did you listen to that?
No.
We were, like, the biggest nerds ever.
I totally listened to it.
Because, like, Final Fantasy was, like, my pinnacle JRPG
moment. It's not my
moment.
Thing.
Well, that's the thing. It's not for me anymore, either. It's
oh, no?
Like, no. Final Fantasy is not what it used to be. And it's not just the nostalgia that's clouding my brain, you know? Like, it's actually, like, I actually prefer the Shin Megami Tensei series just as I've gotten older. Because I like it, how it, I don't know, it integrates the psyche and, like, human psychology into
yeah.
it and be really dark and supernatural at the same time while being human. So that juxtaposition is just the most amazing thing. I'm totally loving it.
I need to give that series a go. My sister, like, loves it, but yeah. she's very protective and doesn't let me play it.
Ah, but you gotta do it.
I know. Man, your introduction of yourself, way better than mine. Let me just say that. Now I gotta sound cooler. Yeah, I've been doing this podcast thing for a few years on and off, and I am an aspiring filmmaker who hasn't made any films. Funny enough, huh? It's just expensive, but that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to start the whole YouTube thing as well, hopefully soon, once I get some cash to get a new PC and get some camera stuff going. But yeah, I want to make some films. I got a few ideas for some short films I want to do. I just want to get Brad staring at me. And just got to get the people together to do them, you know? It's not too easy. I can't look at Brad.
No Brad.
But I don't know. I don't even know what else to mention about myself, in all honesty, because I feel like I've talked to these people, mm-hmm. but maybe they don't listen. Mm-hmm. Look, that was so poetic. I talk to these people, but they don't listen.
It's so emo.
I know. Well, I don't have the slice anymore.
Yeah.
But since this is our anime podcast, maybe we'll jump into history we have with, I guess, anime and manga in general. Mm-hmm. Manga, yeah. Manga, however you say it.
Manga.
I only started saying manga like a year and a half ago. I was always like, I'm going to get me some manga books from the library.
You were one of those kids.
I know. Can I get some DBZ from the library on the manga books?
Library, eh? Ooh, ouch.
I was a learned child.
Were you?
Very much so. Huh. But yeah, my history with anime probably starts with Sailor Moon. Because I was, man, when that started airing on YTV, it was like 94, 95, like around that. So I was like really young. I was 3 years old.
Holy shit. You have like, wow.
I have good memory. I was like 3 or 4. Like that's when I really started watching it. My dad's friend's kids would make fun of me for watching Sailor Moon all the time. Like, girls watch Sailor Moon. I'm like, no. So like, I used to have dreams when I was a kid. Like, Sailor Moon and Tuxedo Mask were actually my parents. And, like, I was just here, not knowing. Like, I was waiting for them to come, finally, and get me. Because I had these Sailor Moon stickers my grandma had bought, and she gave them to me. And I had dreams where they were my communicating devices. And I would, like, holograms of Sailor Moon and Tuxedo Mask would appear.
Holy God.
I'd be like my parents. My mission is almost done. Wow. I can soon go back with you.
You are strange.
I was always a creative child.
No, that's good.
That was the weird thing. Yeah, but it's kind of Sailor Moon. Because I was like, I think the first, I guess a lot of Western audiences, that was like the first like mainstream, I guess, one that was on TV at the time. Especially that early.
That and Dragon Ball.
Oh, yeah. But funny enough, Sailor Moon I saw way before Dragon Ball.
Yeah. No, I share that as well.
Look at that.
Carry on.
But, so yeah, it was that, and then I know it went on to Dragon Ball, because my cousins would come over and like, have you ever seen this show? And I'm like, oh my gosh, is this like Sailor Moon? That's what I had to compare it to. Because I've never
It's
really
like the
seen.
Total opposite of Sailor Moon.
But I just
like
the art style was like, I was like, is this like Sailor Moon? Like, no man, this is Dragon Ball. And the episode first I saw was like, Gohan and Bulma were like going into this little town, and it's when they're looking for Dragon Balls after, I forget who just came in, like, decimated the town. And then it cuts to Goku is like fondling Bulma, in a sense. He's like trying to find her tail, so he like pulls down her pants looking for her tail. And I just thought it was the funniest thing as a kid. And I guess that part was around the time when Pokemon was big, starting to get big. And that was that. I'm just like, all my early childhood
crazy.
Anime was like, yeah, Pokemon for sure. Like, shit
Pokemon
my pants. Like,
so good. Holy crap.
Fuck, I still watch it. Like, I'll go back to the
really?
Old ones.
Yeah, okay, the old ones. Good.
Well, I haven't watched the new ones,
like,
but I want to watch X and Y.
Yeah, after he did the League, I thought the League was a really great part, but then they went to the islands. And
the Orange Islands is my favorite.
Yeah?
And it always
but I like the one that came
I don't remember the Orange Islands that well, but I mean, it was my favorite. It was just different to me that I remember, and it always bugged me that it was never done in any of the games. Like, I was like, why is there no Orange Island League somewhere in here? I really wanted that to happen. Like,
I'm not sure why they didn't.
Well, especially after Gold and Silver, when you go to
Johto,
and then you can go back to Kanto.
Yeah, that was like, such a big game.
Oh my
when
God.
You think about
Soul
that
Silver
you...
is so good too. Like,
Silver's
it's the best one. Silver was where it's at. Like, all the other Pokemon games, in my opinion. Until X and Y, like, did not compare to that game.
Yeah.
It had so much
content.
So you
really like X and Y, then?
Oh, I loved X and Y. Yeah. I thought it was a great game.
I felt like it was made a lot easier than it should have been. They've been dumbing
down
the series.
That's 100% true.
When you think about all the old ones. But, I mean, it's overwhelming. That's my problem.
Oh, yeah.
I stop at silver, and that's it.
Oh, I would keep playing. I think I would go from silver. I hit ruby, and then I didn't play anything after ruby because then I went to the DS ones, mm-hmm. and like I had a flash cart, so I was playing platinum
because
I didn't really have the money to buy it. And then I got back into it. I started playing Soul Silver, Heart Gold, then Black and White. And Black and White 2 I just played recently because I needed to get Pokemon so I could trade over to X and Y.
Mm-hmm.
I almost completed the X and Y Pokedex. I haven't gone back to it, but I'm like 15 Pokemon short of 718.
It's good. It's awesome.
I know. But back to the history of anime. The history of anime 101. I think, yeah, Dragon Ball, and I think that shortly went into Dragon Ball Z, which is a story I've told a few times on the podcast, that I stopped watching DBZ because like the Cell saga happened and Cell scared me as a kid. Because
mm-hmm.
there's a scene.
Gave me nightmares.
There's a scene which I've told many times. So if you've heard me talk before, oh Scott, you're gonna mention the scene where he held that guy hostage and he's like, Piccolo, save me, save me. Piccolo doesn't do shit, and then he like sucks the guy up, and then like his empty clothes and the wad of money he holds falls to the ground. I turned that TV off and went to bed. I'm like, done. I'm like, nope, nope. And I went to bed.
Oh, that is, yeah, that's pretty terrifying.
But yeah, that was really, so like 96, 2000 is kind of where I got back, when I got into the anime. 94, around there. I got into it with those series, and then I kind of just, I jumped off it, because I was like, this is for kids, so dumb, oh my gosh, and I started watching Inuyasha, like, when no one knew, and I was like, oh my god, will he just love Kagome, please?
Oh my god.
Hold Kagome close and kiss her. Sorry, I was watching it again, and I was getting very emotional, sentimental.
No.
I was like, he loves, oh no.
It's a trap, you have to understand.
I haven't finished the series ever,
because it's a trap.
I never finished the first series.
It's the biggest tease you'll ever get to
experience.
Don't
tell me that. But let's go with your...
Run and a Half is good, though. That you should
I watched a little bit of that one before. I used to get it on Pokemon VHS tapes. Like, it would show beginning. It's like, I was once a... Rah, 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 now I'm a girl.
Yeah.
Grandpa's Panda.
It's so funny, though.
I know, it looks good.
It is so funny.
Mike Laidman from the Mike and Laura's Untitled podcast. He's a big fan of it. He was telling me that before we were talking about it. He's like, it's so good.
I think he has
all the books or something.
Yeah, that's
awesome.
Yeah,
all the first runs of them.
Cool.
But let's hear your history, introductions.
Well, ours seems actually really similar in a lot of ways. Where
because we are the same.
Oh my god. Hungarian blood, huh?
One of us.
Oh god. So Sailor Moon, definitely. That was my first real experience before I even knew it was anime. I actually had this really awful moment where I had the best memories watching it, and I would tell people what it was, but nobody knew like that it was called anime, like it was a form of anime.
I'd call it Japanimation.
Yeah. You know, for
I didn't know.
You know what happened is that I used to watch it on YTV, and then I moved to the States when I was about 7. And apparently, like, the only way we could watch it in the States was to watch on cable, but I never had cable growing up. So I had these weird lingering memories of this anime that I had seen without knowing what it was, aside from its name and nobody knowing. I was like, oh, this is, like, the worst thing ever. And it took me a while till I finally met people who were really into it. And then that's when Pokemon was really big.
That's when everyone started to realize what
really
this was.
Really big. But with Pokemon, I was just so... I mean, Sailor Moon is a great gateway. I'll give it that, you know? Like, it's okay for a magical girl anime. It's not great, but it's like... It sets a base
then
for
again,
everything
there's also
else.
Such ridicule over the English one that came here. I'm not... I don't know that much history of it.
Okay.
But I know... Laura Thomas, she loves it. And I think she once got mad at me because I called the characters by their English name once.
Oh.
And she's like, this is who the character really is.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh.
No, it gives really, really bad representations of the characters in the dub. So it's definitely not worth following. But unfortunately, a lot of people only grew up with that.
Well, yeah, that's what we saw.
Very few people I know who were actually, like, growing up with the subtitles. And I think that would be really, 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 really cool if they were. But, you know, fortunately. But it's way better, so.
Yeah.
The new mangas are good, too, because it's actually a translation from the...
Oh, is it?
Yeah, from the original prints.
Mm-hmm.
But the original prints were, like, it was just, like, really... I don't know. The ones that came out in the US were just really bad.
Yeah.
They weren't great. Like, the printing quality and everything on them, too. But anyways, we're going off tangent. So Pokemon, and then I got so into Pokemon where I collected the cards. And
do you still have your cards? That's the question.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so
I do. I should pull them out.
You know what card? The only card I never got, and my friend had like three of them,
mm-hmm.
and I'm trying to get him to give me one because he doesn't know how much they're worth. He still has like the first edition Charizards. Like
the holographic Charizard. Oh, man. Holy
but I think he has the shadowless ones. Those ones were more valuable with the first runs.
Yeah.
Because
oh my god.
I think I was getting the cards. Me and my friends all got them at the same time. I had a shadowless Venusaur for my first card. Like, I walked into the comic shop, which I still go to, actually. I'm supposed to be doing a podcast with him. It's crazy. This guy's, like, guided me through my young childhood stages of selling me stuff. Because, like, he had three holographic cards. And I kid you not, the only three Pokemon cards he had to buy were Charizard, Venusaur, and Blastoise.
Okay.
So this is, like, really weird. It's like, pick your Pokemon.
Basically, and I was like, you a boy or a girl?
I know. Welcome to the Pokemon world. And I picked Venusaur.
Okay.
No, nothing wrong with that. I was like really happy. I was like, I kind of wish I picked Charizard only because of now. But I always
think
had
money-wise, Charizard was the most expensive.
No, it was still $10 at the time. This was the time.
Yeah, I started with the Jungle expansion that came out right after the
that
basic.
That was a pretty good expansion.
Yeah, though. I went all the way up until the Neo one. That's where they started Johto.
Yep.
The 251 Pokemon. But after that, I'm pretty sure I stopped. I had a lot of Japanese cards, too. And Team Rocket, that came before the Neo. Because
that's when you had all the dark Pokemon. So you had, like, Dark Charizard. It was, like, the only way I got a Charizard at the time.
They had some really cool ones. Yeah, I have, like, over 350 of them in these cool little Pokemon packs. But I also got, you know how you were talking about the season of Pokemon on the islands? I got a promotional... a card set.
I was gonna ask if you had the island set.
Yeah, I do. All in Japanese. It's so nice.
I hate
the
you
full
so
binder.
Much. I hate you. My
I'll
friend
show it
got
to
it.
You sometime.
Oh, it's brutal. My friend got it, and I want it so bad. Cause I think the first time Togepi was in a card, and I was like, "What?" My mind was blown. Yeah. The art was beautiful on it.
It's gorgeous. That's why I got it, because I liked it aesthetically mostly.
I still kind of want to buy it, like, now.
I wonder how much it is now.
I think I searched it up one day. I don't think it was too bad, price-wise. It's not, like, first edition Charizard, but...
Yeah, but how much, do you know?
I think the full set, less than 100. I think it's, like, 40 to 60 somewhere.
I could see that. I got it for way less at Electronics Boutique when I did get it. I think that's where I got it.
Really? They're the Japanese ones? That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, they did. They were right at the counter. They were awesome.
Fuck.
One of the ladies there hated me, though. Because I remember, like, in the Safari Zone, you had to go in, like, a particular route.
Yep.
It was so confusing, and I was too young to, like,
I don't even know how I figured it out.
Yeah, because, like, it's really difficult. Yeah. And I actually remember sitting, looking at the guide, and, like, just tracing out the pattern so I could get it. And then she came up to me, and she's like, you know, you can't do that. And I'm like, I'm a little kid, you know?
I can do what I want.
Not that. Well, yeah, in a way. But I was young enough where she should have given me a break. She made me leave the store.
I would have made you. I was like, get out of this store.
It was a good store,
you
though.
You little rapscallion.
It's where I got to demo Dreamcast and everything. It was really good.
My parents never let me set foot in a game store when I was a kid.
Really?
We had a game store right around the corner from my house.
Mom always encouraged it, actually.
My mom would go in and buy me games, but she knew if I went in... Like, I'd be like, what? It was literally my house and right there. Like, we go up the street, right there. Like, a minute and a half walk.
That's crazy.
And I never got to go in. I always saw kids playing games in there.
Aww.
And I was like, my dad would park in front of it while we're going somewhere. My mom would walk in and get something for me. And then we'd go where we needed to go. I was like, oh.
That's brutal. Oh, my God. So,
I like how we just went to gaming.
Yeah,
this is no longer an anime podcast.
No,
this is
anime.
A gaming podcast.
It's very much anime.
It's anime games, so it's all good. It's
okay.
All good.
Okay, so after that, I started getting really, like, when I started, like, became a teen, then I sought shoujos like no other. And so I read a lot of, like, Fushigi Yugi and Cirrus and, man, what else? Like, all kinds of stuff. I was reading a lot of Tenchi Muyo and... Oh My Goddess and stuff like that. I really
ten
ate
times
that
more hardcore
stuff
than
up.
Me.
I read that stuff up. That's not hardcore. I don't
to
know
me it
what
is,
that
at least.
Is. Yeah,
I'm such a like a newbie there.
Mm-hmm.
I was just reading like Dragon Ball and like I think some Yu-Gi-Oh.
Oh, Yu-Gi-Oh.
Like whatever little manga we had at the in my elementary school library because I was the only kid who was reading it. I was like, whoa. That what else did I probably
we never
read?
Had manga at our library
we I did wish. Luckily but this is like in the 2000s, where like the librarian was like, you kids read this? Like, apparently my elementary school now has like such a huge amount of manga there.
Really?
My sister,
that's awesome.
It, when she graduated in grade 8, that was a geez, like 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. 5 years ago, she's graduating high school now, like grow up. She was telling me how like the teacher would ask her what kind of manga to get, so my sister would just give her her wish list. So that's where she got to read like Orin and stuff like that, like before my parents would buy it for her.
Yeah.
Like, get this. So my sister had like her own personal little manga thing, but yeah, I'd read it there, and the library had some to try to make you more cultured, it seems, because it's Japanese, so you become more cultured.
At least they did it there. They never did it anywhere.
Good old rich white Oakville, those white rich
kids.
That's crazy.
Yeah, not in ours. But luckily, I had this really strange tradition going up where my mom, for a good like 7 or 8 years, she would force us every Saturday, the whole family together, and we went to Barnes & Noble from like 9 in the morning until like 2 or 3. And we would always sit in the same place. It was really strange. but my mom really liked tradition like that a
so
lot.
Hungarian.
She liked routine. She's like, let's sit at this table. And if we couldn't sit at that table, she was really upset. It's just at a Starbucks, right? So anybody could take the table, technically.
Yeah,
you know?
Obviously, yeah.
But it was weird. It was weird, but
that's
they welcomed
pretty awesome.
Us. Yeah, but through that, though, was actually really awesome, because then I realized at that time my life was like a shoujo manga, because I was reading shoujo manga about like, you know, like romances and all that stuff, and I kept meeting all these cute boys who would periodically like start working at Barnes & Noble, and it was just the funniest thing. I went to like different locations, and there was this one guy I met. Yeah, because like it's so funny, because like nobody ever, yeah, what the hell, what is with that guy?
I don't know.
When I was a teenager, nobody wanted to date me. Nobody. And being a girl at like 16 and no one in your school wanting to date you, I had to seek the older guys. I had no choice. And that's why I was just like always like head over heels over all of these Barnes and Noble guys. And that's and then I just read manga while I was there. It was really crazy. And I was reading a lot of Inuyasha and watching a lot of Inuyasha eventually.
Want to change the world.
No. Oh my god. Don't bring back the memories. That is such a tease. Honestly, I know you haven't finished it, but it's such a tease.
That's why I don't want to. There's certain things I never finish because then they're still amazing in my eyes. Like, I didn't finish Lost.
Yeah.
And I still love Lost. Okay. I haven't watched the ending.
Oh, no. Oh,
stop.
Gosh.
I know how it ends, though, but.
Okay.
But yeah. See, the manga I was reading, you know, it wasn't really. My world didn't turn out like that. I wasn't, like, fighting people and then, like, growing a tail. And then
I think you were.
I remember I used to pretend.
Your secret life.
The secret life of Scott Borders crawling through the fields. I used to imagine, though, during Pokemon, how I wish I could go to the corner store, just, like, buy a Pokeball, like, get some change. Like, mm-hmm. They had Pokeball. I'd imagine, like, once you're going up to, like, pay for your groceries, like, the convenience store, you had, like, a Pokeball, like, case there. He's like, do you want to buy some Pokeballs? I put the case, like, yeah, give me a Pokeball. Okay, that's $2. Because I think that's the conversion rate in Pokemon. It's, like, 200 probably. Or whatever. I think it's, like, $2.
Probably.
And it's, like, and then I'd always, like, walk home, and, like, I pick a rock up, and I'm, like, walking home from groceries, because the corner store is just around the corner. So my parents would make me go, and I'd have a rock, and I'd walk around, and there'd be, like, a bush. And I'd be like, oh, there's a wild Caterpie out of there. And I'd, like, throw my rock and pretend I caught a Caterpie. And I then
that's amazing.
I used to pretend. And then the rest of the day, I pretended how I would, like, care for my Caterpie. I'd be like, hey, Caterpie, are you going to evolve yet? And then, like, me and Metapod be buds, because Metapod just be chilling all the time. And then I have Butterfree. And then I'd have been like, yay. I'd be like those kids, like, in the beginning of Pokemon, who, like, just have, like, a Butterfree or, like, a Rattata, and they're like, yeah, it's the best Pokemon ever.
Oh my god.
So I used
so
to imagine.
Adorable.
See, I didn't have a shoujo, but I had Pokemon.
Yeah, well, you can get sentimental over it no matter what, especially at that angsty age where you just, like, your emotions are all over the place.
I was 6 years old.
You were a 6-year-old angst. Well,
Mom, I want my chocolate milk.
I always had, okay, you know what? Ever since I was little, I ended up always getting crushes on certain people.
Oh, I did all
shows.
The time.
All the time. Like, Tuxedo Mask was my number one
I met
crush.
Girls that I knew. I had, like, a crush on, like, every girl that I knew when I grew up. I'm like, hey,
really?
I like you. You want to date for a month?
Well, at least yours were real people. I liked some boys.
Did I just
school,
tell you that I believe Sailor Moon and Tuxedo Mask were my real parents?
What?
I had a crush on Sailor Mercury. She was my favorite growing
Sailor
up.
Sailor Mercury?
Yeah,
she was
I was
very
like,
cute.
Oh, Sailor Mercury.
yeah, no, it was kind of weird. thinking back on some of the crushes I had growing up. Kind of embarrassing, but whatever. Some of them were really, like, hunky. I remember having a big crush on Inuyasha for a while, which I don't understand. Because now I look at it and I'm like, man. What? No.
Well, I think
that's not what I want. My tastes have changed so much, like, anime-wise. I don't follow anything like that anymore.
I secretly try to throw some of those in, but
really?
I don't know what to watch.
Oh,
I'm like,
God.
Oh my gosh.
Because they've, they've changed in a way. Like, all anime has changed to an extent, right? Like, now I watch a lot darker stuff. Like, I really like anything by Satoshi Kon is really amazing.
Yeah,
there we're talking like Paprika or just so many things, and it's a shame that he isn't going to be making any more stuff. Paranoia Agent was one of my favorites, like, in terms of series.
So since we probably talked about like our history, like, what do you think influenced like the choices we made and what we watched? Like, I'd probably say right away, like, the age we were, probably, like, being a kid, like, fucking, I thought anime was the greatest thing ever. Like, I fell in love with it. Like, I don't know how to explain it. I'm not sure if it's, like, the feeling of nostalgia, because I don't think it is. When I was watching this stuff, like, I felt this crazy feeling when I was watching some of these things. I could almost equate it to, like, falling in love, but not with the characters. It's not like that. It was just something about the art form in general when I was a kid. I became so emotionally attached to it, but then I fell out of it, and it always bugged me. Like, I used to watch some of these things. I didn't even know what they were, but just seeing this art form, like, my brain was like, holy crap. And, like, I fell in love with it. Like, it was something very special to me. Like, it was mine, and I always would love it. It was a very weird feeling I had. I don't even know what it was, really, but I don't even know the anime that I had that feeling to. It was something that was on, like, Much Music. Obviously, wasn't for kids. But it was, like, some story, and I don't remember what happened, but I was like, oh my gosh. And then I had Sailor Moon and stuff. Like, I would not go hang out with my grandparents. I'm like, Sailor Moon's on. I'd sit in my basement. My sister would have to go up hang out with my grandparents. I'm like, I'm watching Sailor Moon down here.
That's awesome.
So I think probably the age really influenced it, like, because I went out of anime for many years, only to get back into it again 2 years ago. Excuse me. So I didn't get to have that awesome story everyone has. They're like, I had to pre-order tapes that one episode on it from Japan. Never once had to do that, though, or borrow tapes, because all my friends were 5 years old. We didn't have VHS tapes.
but
my influences, though, I think then were just what I was familiar with, and now I have to really thank Crunchyroll and stuff. Like, there's so many different things I can watch. Like, on Netflix, I would never know what to watch. It'd kind of be going to conventions, and if I saw someone cosplay as a character, and I'd be like, oh, alright, I know this character. I'm going to watch Trigun or whatever. Like, I think that is what kind of influenced my choices at that point. Like, I remember watching Death Note. I was like, it's so awesome. I was like 16 when it came out. So it was kind of like
potato
that.
Potato chip scene.
Like, that's so good.
It's so dramatic in the anime. It's hilarious. It's dramatic in the manga, too, but man,
in
the
dramatic
anime.
In the movie as well. The live-action films. Those are actually really good. I love them. But man, but I think that was at the point where I was like, I had the same hairstyle as him. Not intentionally. It was before I was like watching it.
Didn't.
I had it before. Oh, hipster right here.
Okay.
But I guess it felt that dark, angsty thing, and I'm like, this anime at the time, because I had not watched much again, I'm like, this is so dark. This is an amazing series. This guy wants to kill people. I want to kill people too. I want to have this notebook and kill these people I don't deem worthy.
Are you a secret murderer? Goodbye, folks.
But I just remember that I was, like, watching this show, and I'm like, yeah, he's killed these guys. I wonder how he's going to do it. He's just kill everybody, and then what's going to be left? This is amazing. It's so dark and edgy. I felt it really was when I was watching it again.
It was. I mean, even the opener is dark and angsty, but it was
so
cool. So
wicked Japanese metal.
It was awesome.
My rendition of that, my sister gets so mad at me because I start pretending I can speak Japanese and start singing it. I'm not going to do it
right
now,
though.
That's
amazing. No, you really
should.
Do it.
I was about to start.
Just do it.
I'm going to wake up everyone in this neighborhood.
No, it doesn't matter. You're not going
to. Oh, my gosh. I'll have to record it later and, like, put it in eventually because I get, like, really into it.
Okay. Fine.
I'll tell you afterwards, but I'll record it afterwards. So, like, I guess growing up was my main thing. Like, now, I really love to watch, like, Inuyasha, and just seeing those love stories. Like, I don't know if it's, like, the sad thing that I'm not dating anyone. So it's, like, I'm getting my emotions out through, like, cartoons. I'm like, Jesus Christ, it's so sad.
No, it's not. That's a, it's, like, appreciating a particular kind of art or medium, you know?
Yeah. Well, it's, like, also, I think...
If you're allowed to, like... certain kinds of movies, why can't you be allowed, you know what I mean?
Oh,
like,
I know.
People are a lot more accepting of anime than they used to be.
Oh,
because people used to think you were just, everyone was an otaku.
Oh,
everyone
I know.
Was crazy. And there's actually a lot of... I never wanted to be that.
That's why I stopped watching it.
Yeah, well, the thing is like, as people grow up, obviously, they're actually going to grow up, and then you realize, oh, wait, it's actually not that uncool after all. You know what I mean?
Like,
it took a long time, though.
I can really see that every anime I'm watching depends on my emotional state at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Like... when I started watching Evangelion was during, like my dad had passed away, so I was still feeling, like, upset about that. And I guess this whole, like, dark thing about this guy who, like, doesn't get understood or whatever, I was, like, watching this. I thought Brad was mocking me for a second because I mentioned Shinji Ikari, but apparently not. And something that, like, psychological, like, thinking about your existence and, like...
yeah.
If you're doing
just
things to appease people or to appease yourself, and I'm watching this and I'm, like... fucking right up, holy crap, yeah, I'm like going on this journey kind of thing and just trying to figure everything out.
Mm-hmm.
And then again, when I was feeling those emotional, I was like, watch a lovey-dovey anime like Inuyasha, I guess. Mm-hmm. I consider that
it is very lovey-dovey, definitely.
And then yeah, I think it all just seems in the mood, like I'm feeling, like my emotions instantly decide, like that would be my influences, I guess. But also I guess other genres I like I think, like, the mecha stuff has been really new to me. I never watched Gundam as a kid.
Okay.
So I was, like, after Evangelion, I was thinking, okay, this is pretty awesome. It's robot stuff here.
Mm-hmm.
Very sci-fi. But now I'm trying to try to watch some more darker things, too, because I just want to see some of the darkness that anime can give you. Because I'm not... the darkest probably has to have been, like... Death Note, in a sense.
Oh, God.
But maybe,
I need to show you more,
I think,
man.
Like, one I started to watch was, like, Kasher and Sins, and it started to piss me off when I was watching it. I didn't finish it.
Yeah.
I have it, and I'm watching it, and I'm like, nothing is fucking happening here. But it was, like, really dark, too. It was like, you fucking killed everybody. I'm
just
watching this.
Just because it's dark, though, doesn't mean it's necessarily good. You still have to pick through stuff.
Well, it was
also, I mean?
$20 on Blu-ray at HMV. I was like, gee, willikers, $20.
That's why it was $20. No, I actually don't know very much about that anime, so.
I know it's a... spin a sequel to a 70s anime.
Yeah, Tatsunoko.
Mm-hmm.
Anime, yeah.
But yeah, other influence I'm thinking, like, I don't really know what else probably influences me to actually, like, watch specific anime other than aesthetics to me or how I'm feeling in the moment. How about you? Like, what influences do you think really bring you to what you want to watch or enjoy?
When I grew up, it was a lot more about curiosity and covering different genres and figuring out what I really liked and what about those things I really liked. So in the end, nowadays, it doesn't really matter what the genre is at all because it's all neutral to an extent, right? So I, after I got past the more kiddie state in my anime interest, then I did start going for... a lot of classics. Like, I was watching quite a bit of, like, Cowboy Bebop and Trigun and Outlaw Star, alongside still stuff like Inuyasha, just because I needed that.
Mm-hmm.
There's something about that romance, but I needed something really different. And my taste kind of grew more off of ones like Cowboy Bebop or Trigun into what I have now. But luckily, there was also a point where I found out about... and this really changed things. This was probably the biggest game changer, and that was Serial Experiments Lane. That one changed things a lot for me because it showed me another side of anime and that it wasn't just, like, kid stuff. Like,
mm-hmm.
Cowboy Bebop did that particularly in its use of music. And Trigun could be for younger kids, but it had, like, enough depth to it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, like, it was very humorous.
I think Death Note was like that for me because
yeah.
I was darker, and I'm like, whoa.
Yeah, but Serial Experiments Lane was by far the darkest I had seen, and so different and so adult,
mm-hmm.
right? And it covers something that originally might seem like it's, because it's the girl, like, Lane, she's so young, and a lot of people tend to just assume, oh, well, if she's young, then it's just going to be geared towards young people, but not at all.
Yeah.
Like, it really changed things for me, and it made me really get to appreciate Satoshi Kon, and, you know, with Perfect Blue and Paprika, and all those favorites, and then I got into some action as well, like Gantz. Gantz is a really good dark one that... I've gotten to spend a lot of time with, and just like Ergo Proxy. So as I've gotten older, it's just kind of refined. It's funneled into a particular kind of interest, and I really like suspense thrillers. If it can integrate something supernatural, that's totally cool too, but it can also be very realistic at the same time. Like Nana is a really great example of that. It's basically the only shoujo I still watch, or cover or read or whatever, you know. Like, it's there's something about it that's so realistic and raw. And I seek out YouTubers and websites where I know I can find that kind of stuff. Like Nihon Review is a really great website if you're looking for quality anime. They have really great reviews, and they give really accurate scores, and they give articulate opinions about those mm-hmm. kinds of things as well. Same with some YouTubers I've met already, that it's like, we might not agree on everything, but we understand like each other's tastes in a way.
Yeah.
It's really good when you can click like that, because there's certain things I never would have heard of otherwise, like anything for Tight Moon. Like, because I'm just in the middle of that right now. Like Fate Zero was one that I had already watched on Crunchyroll. Crunchyroll has been another big influence, that's for sure. It's insane the kinds of stuff I found there, and I've never really wanted to pay for a service like that, but I'm so happy I do. It makes so much sense to me, and I found so many cool things in the experience, right? So, yeah, I don't know. It's just kind of like, I'm just letting it go. I'm just seeing where this adventure is going to take me, because it could change.
Crunchyroll's done that for me, but I forgot. I was thinking about it, and the biggest influence I think that got me back into anime after I watched as a kid, and I was like, mm-hmm. this is dumb. Fucking Hayao Miyazaki, man.
Yeah.
Like, it's such a generic thing to say, but... when Spirited Away came out, that is when I started. I was like, this looks really interesting. Like, I remembered anime.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, maybe this looks really cool. I want to see this. It was in a magazine they gave every kid for free. And I wanted to go see it in the theaters. My parents were like, I'm not going to take you to theaters, whatever. But I started watching those films because the library had every single Hayao Miyazaki film.
Mm-hmm.
And I started watching these films. First one was Spirited Away. And then I hit Nausicaa, which is my all-time favorite. And that, I think, showed me the art form for what it truly was, and just an extraordinary storytelling medium where the art speaks for itself exponentially.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many things you can... Like, Western animation, I like some of it.
The style's different, though.
And I don't think Western animation can pull you into a story as well.
No.
I may just be saying such a crazy thing. People are like, you're so dumb. There's so many Western animated things that can do that. Look at Disney. But I mean, this, just the heart of these characters you see, they're so emotional. And you're capturing emotions with a pen and ink. This isn't emotions with a man in front of a camera. This isn't emotions this man drew. He's feeling something, and he just... lines connected, colors came together, and just the craziest worlds full of emotion were made. And that, I think, because I like to get on things on an emotional level, which I said hits a lot of my influences, and that Spirited Away, my mom watched it with me, and she's like, what is this? This is amazing, and started buying them all and watching with me, because mm-hmm. she loves anime as well. And that I don't even know how that... I forgot about it. I was so wrapped up in other things that I forgot that was probably my single biggest influence to what I choose to watch. That brought it back to me, but then I got away from it again, but
that's,
it was always there.
I felt similarly when I first watched Mononoke Hime, which I got as a gift from a friend, I think like an early birthday gift,
mm-hmm.
Just the VHS. And I just fell in love with it. And it was definitely a dark one to begin with.
Yeah.
But I was amazed. And I think that was another thing that definitely showed me that. It's funny how universal Miyazaki's works have become in that extent. And it's really like, it's shown the artistry behind it. And I think it's given more people like reason to really pursue this medium.
Oh, I've shown it to so many people who aren't interested in it. My boss's dad, 56-year-old guy, grew up in Poland during communism. He fought communism in Poland in the Solidarity Act movement. He didn't have like cartoons to grow up on, so he's watching cartoons now with his grandchildren. I showed him Porco Rosso, and I'd never seen a guy like, he's like, oh my gosh, his jaw's dropping, his biggest smile. He thought it was like the greatest thing ever. So we watched it again right after. We're at work here. He's like, put that back on. We're watching this again. And he like fell in love with this stuff. So yeah, it is kind of, it's the emotion you get out of it and the stories that are told, I feel, are done significantly well in the genre.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Since we're talking about some of this, what do you think, just probably like go into, what do you think our favorite stuff is? Like, there's probably so much you've seen or enjoyed. Let's like pick five, which is still quite a lot too. Like, it could be like a manga series or anime series. Like, mine are pretty much all anime because the mangas I read were based on the anime after I watched the anime. So I don't really have much in the manga category besides Death Note and Full Metal Alchemist.
Death Note was really good until you know what happened. Just, you know.
Yeah, I think I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah.
And then it peeled out.
I'm just trying to think what my favorite, like, I could just say Miyazaki films in all honesty, like pick five of them that I love. But I'm not even going to add him into this because it's, that's, I just intense. Love it. It's pretty impossible to like pick and put him in a list with stuff. So he's just almighty. He gets like
almighty being.
He gets the best spot. But I think series for me, I think it has to go. My favorite stuff, this is in no specific order for me. It's just like, this is what comes to my head that I remember I really enjoyed. Probably I'm going to say obviously Death Note because that had a big influence with me. Obviously, Neon Genesis Evangelion. Mm-hmm. I'll throw Dragon Ball Z in there. I actually prefer Kai, just because it was shorter and to the point. And I'd have to spend so many episodes watching Spirit Bombs, but I can be nostalgic for the Spirit Bomb. What other series that I watched that I really liked? Well, then again, I don't have to say series, but recently I remember I was going through some stuff and I watched Trigun, and that was, I really enjoyed Trigun. And hell, I'm just going to say Nausicaa. Like, I said I wouldn't say Miyazaki, but that, no, that's, whenever I see it, I have to watch it. Like, I love it too much. Those are, that's my five, good. I think. Off the top of my head, I can say are my favorite or most influential to me.
Okay. I don't know if I can do five, but I can definitely throw some out there.
Alrighty.
Some I've definitely mentioned already, like Serial Experiments Lane is a really good one. Cowboy Bebop, Trigun, Neon Genesis Evangelion. I would definitely agree with you.
Stop
on
stealing
that.
My list.
Hey now. Hey now. No, Neon Genesis did a lot for me, man. It showed me that dark side, because right before that I had just finished Gundam Wing, and I loved Gundam Wing, and I still do. It's very different though, you know. It's not really a deconstruction anime, that's not what it's meant to be, but Neon Genesis was that, and it made me really appreciate kind of looking and observing the art form while you're watching it. And I feel like there's some other really good anime that did that, like The Melancholy of Haruhi Suzumiya was a really good example, where it kind of broke the fourth wall and it just had you observing everything that was going on. Madoka Magica was, like, in terms of newer ones as well, that one.
That seems to be the one you talked about the most ever since I've met you.
Really? It seems
like, yeah.
Oh, wow. No, you know, it's I don't want to sound like a snob here, but I do feel in a way that it is overhyped, but it's overhyped for the wrong reasons, because everyone who I seem to hear talk about Madoka Magica never actually talk about the anime itself. They just talk about, oh, I love this character, or I love this character, and there's a lot more to it, and there's a lot of like risk reward involved in it, and the repercussions of actually doing what magical girls do when you think about the genre. So it's a genre, like a deconstruction of the genre itself. And people talk about how, like, oh, you know, why did Madoka wait that whole time, you know, it's just like things that just are so trivial when it has nothing to do with
what the story really is trying
to convey. Yeah, what it's trying to convey. So it's like, it kind of upsets me in that, like, I hear people talk about it, but never for those reasons.
That was honestly probably one of my biggest annoyances when I was watching anime, with people like having those conversations. I'm like, oh, it ends up being such minuscule conversation that just bugged me when you overanalyze something. But then again, I don't think it's terrible. You fall in love with something, you want to know every little bit about it. Like, I was, like, reading, like, Evangelion wikis to, like, learn certain things.
That's true.
Like, I can't really complain about that now.
I did that a lot when I was getting In America magazine. I remember reading some little episode things and the history and like just the psychology of Neogenesis. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing some of the references that are actually implemented into it.
Oh yeah, some are really crazy. Like there's certain things I didn't even know. Yeah. Like, I don't remember ever being mentioned, and then I started reading about it. So I can't really complain about that anymore like I used to. I was like, oh my gosh, it's just like stop getting so nitpicky over it. It's so stupid.
Yeah, sometimes it's nice to find those because they're hiding those there for you. They're like Easter eggs, right? And Gainax is known to do that, though. Like, they have that particular style to them where they like to acknowledge those things. Like, I feel like they do some pretty interesting references.
Oh, and like, almost in most of their stuff they're doing, well, when Gainax is doing, they always reference, like, Evangelion. Like,
in some shape or
form. There's some of them. Like, some of them are really funny.
Yeah, no, I love it. Like, Fooly Cooly or Footy Cooty is a really great example for that. And
I never finished. I watched it, like, an episode. This was before I watched Death Note. My friend was like, watch this. It's only 6 episodes.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, ugh, I'm not going to watch this. I watched one episode. I'm like, oh, my gosh. I, like, wanted to find reasons not to like it so yeah. I could tell them I didn't want to watch it.
Yeah.
So I didn't really give it a chance, unfortunately. But
it's a kind of a clusterfuck, though, when you think about it. Oh, I know. Like, there's a lot going on, and there's a lot of jokes that are being made right in front of your eyes all at the same time. So it's a bit to
it's
handle.
It's a bit bizarre. Yeah,
it's a bit bizarre, definitely. But, yeah. Another one I actually want to give a shout out that just came out on Blu-ray through Sentai Filmworks is Shin Sakai Yori. That one's been really good. I know I was talking to you about it. It's the...
You have to write it down for me because I remember you even telling me and I get home and I'm like...
It's on Crunchyroll too.
And I'm like, I have no idea what she said to me now because I'm looking at all the names and I'm like, this could be any of these.
Yeah, it's that dystopian one where... it's like I think it's like supposed to be set 1,000 years after our current state right now.
Yeah.
And people start developing these psychic abilities back in the present. But because people had no control over their psychic abilities, there was a lot of death that was going on. And so through that came basically, in a way, you could say like the apocalypse. Very few people exist in the world anymore. And they're just trying, there's a lot of reformation going on. And there's this village that seems totally pristine and everything. You know, one of the last few people that exist. And at that point, they had refined their psychic abilities since it had been such a long time, right? But there's a lot of oppression going on at the same time because at this point, there's these mutant rat people that exist now too. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of a mystery how exactly these creatures evolved and their oppressive relationship with one another. And it also, like, it kind of goes into, like, the conspiracies of, like, what people are willing to do to gain something out of it. And it really delves into human nature in a really dark way. But it's really awesome. I really enjoy it. And it's on Crunchyroll.
I kept mistaking that series because you'd tell them to me. And I remember the other one you're talking about was, like,
Nagi no Asakara.
The one you did a review on. Because I watched the video you did, and I was like, it's, like, an underwater world. And, like, they're just, like, falling in love with each other. Yeah. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to watch this one, like, put my headphones on and be like, oh, squee all the time. So, what's going on?
It's not that kind of show, though. What? It's different.
No, I'll still probably squee.
It doesn't make you squeal, though, because, like, it's very subtle.
I can squee at anything.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I want to see this
because we can watch some of it later. Like, I'll be watching it, and now that I know, I'm gonna be like, oh my gosh! Like,
I think I will. It's not like in shoujos that I used like Fushigi Yuugi.
No, I think I still will though because it probably seems like it's probably a little more deeper.
Yeah. What it is. Oh, it is. And that's the thing.
I think I'll still like. I'll be like.
Looks can be deceiving. There's something about the character design I loved. Yeah.
I'm thinking so.
Okay, I believe you. I'll believe you.
Secretively, I'll be like, oh my gosh, my heart's melting.
That's another really good one. Like, even if you're not into romance, there's something about the subtleties and the relationships between the characters. Those relationship dynamics in general are really good. And even, like, the slightest glance at one of the characters or, like, a certain little piece of dialogue. Like, you have to actually pay attention to the conversations going on because they're really, like, in tune with the character's emotions. And I think that's why... It's such a it's becoming such a popular anime is because it's very in tune with
that one. Just ended, right? Though, like, ended with the winter season,
It just ended, which is sad.
So, what are you watching now that your stuff's ending?
You know,
old or new, anything?
New. actually. Well, two. One of them is Selector Infected Y-Cross. That's a new one that started for the spring 2014 schedule. And it seems very much like a mix between Angelic Lair and Madoka Magica, mm-hmm. in terms of the fact that the main character is in a state where she is kind of in a contract, and there's a lot of demand on her actually taking on these sort of responsibilities. And mm-hmm. it seems like it's just like some little kid's card game, but there's a few amount of people called selectors who are chosen where they are battling in a much more personal level. They actually have cards that can interact with them. And it's unknown at this point how these people are selected. Although, Selector Infected, so maybe they're infected. I don't know.
What? Revelations.
Because the Y-Cross is the card game name.
Okay.
And it makes me think that maybe these people are predetermined and they were chosen for these roles. But it also doesn't exactly specify what happens if you lose, because you can lose. The thing is if you can become the top player for this game, then your wishes will come true.
Mm-hmm.
Wishes that were totally unattainable. This is very Madoka Magica-esque because it had to do with a lot of risk reward. Are you willing to do this, gain these abilities if there's a sacrifice, right? So there's definitely a sacrifice here, but we don't know exactly what it is mm-hmm. yet. And I really enjoy that. I like that mystery. So I'm curious to see where it's going to go. Another one I am watching right now is the second part of Higurashi no Nako Koro ni, which is a really great one. So I'm watching Kai right now, and it's just like, it's a huge mystery. Like, it originated as a visual novel, horror, supernatural type game.
Mm-hmm.
And you're this guy who used to live in this very small town in Japan, like a village more than anything. And he moved, and then he moved back with his family. But there's something really off about this village, and there are relationship dynamics that seem kind of strange. Like, everyone's very paranoid.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody. Like, it's really weird. And it unravels into this really creepy set of arcs. So there's six arcs in Higurashi no Nako Koro ni, and there's a death in every arc, and it could be a different person. So you could have an alternate universe where that character that was killed in one arc ends up existing in another arc.
It's like String Theory kind of thing.
Yeah, so within these four, there's these really, like, you don't exactly know what's going on and why these characters are killing each other, because they seem very general. They seem very generic, and the art style makes it look like it's going to be a bad show. Like, it's very interesting how after you watch it, you stop caring about the way the visuals looked. I used to think the visuals are horrible looking for Higurashi.
Yeah.
And it's known as being really weird and very off-putting,
yeah,
considering the content involved. But once you can look past that, it becomes totally neutral. And the last two arcs are actually solution arcs where they explain something that you would do, obviously, in the visual novel, too, where you could find the true endings.
Mm.
What exactly is going on, how these things are happening, and just meeting these girls and their relationships in the village. So I'm still unfolding, like, the giant question of them all in Higurashi no Nako Koro ni Kai. And I'm finding it very interesting. It's very different in comparison to mm-hmm. the first season. But it's also very similar. It's more subdued. There's less violence.
Yeah.
But it's definitely worth watching. I'm really enjoying it a lot. So that's it for me.
I have so much I'm watching right now. Oh,
oh
my
God.
Gosh. I'm getting in, like, such a mood for Anime North's coming up end of next month. So I'm having anime. So I've been planning out what I'm watching. So I have, like, old series that I'm probably going to finish then, and whatever's happening now. So, like, the older stuff I'm probably going to watch is, like, I'm probably going to go and finally watch Gurren Lagann, which I haven't ever seen.
There you go.
All right, buddy. Come on, go play Titanfall. Show's over there.
It's a good show. It's very fun. Like, you don't necessarily need to pay attention to it all the time, but there's a really strong message that it involves, especially in the second half of the series.
Yeah, and I'll probably finally finish Cowboy Bebop.
Oh my God.
Okay.
Are you kidding me?
No, I'm not. No. I'm dead serious.
I know.
And then I have, like, the original Gundam series, and then I gotta finish watching the second season of Code Geass, which, oh, Code Geass,
that's
one in the top.
I haven't watched.
That's going in my top series. Yeah. That's what I need to put in there.
I don't really like the art style, I'll be honest.
Oh, that show is awesome. I showed it to
matter.
Mike, and he's like, what the fuck, show's awesome.
Yeah, I really want to watch it. I'm very curious about it.
It's awesome.
Yeah, okay.
I'll show you one. I'll show you the first episode. You'll be
really?
Like,
oh,
it's so
oh
good.
My god!
It's good.
Okay, because I've been really curious too.
So what I'm watching from this season so far, like what's currently going on, is I'm just going through Crunchyroll. Like I know Funimation has their own service.
Oh.
Do you pay for Funimation, or is it like free to watch new stuff?
It's
or do they charge you?
It's a little bit of both, right? So there's certain things you can't access unless you're an elite subscriber.
Yeah, and I don't really have the. I can't really justify two services.
No, I had to stop with Funimation, unfortunately, so I only do Crunchyroll now, but that's how it goes.
I would like to have both, but I think getting back into it now, this is, like, more than enough at the moment. Like,
it's a lot of anime to take
in. Right now, I'm watching 7 shows that are going on. Like, I'm keeping up to date on them all, except this one here that I haven't got to watch, because I haven't had a chance yet. But I'm watching, like...
Oh, that one.
Right now, my queue... is The Kawaii Complex, Guide to Manners and Hostile Behavior, which at first I clicked and I'm like, oh, it's gonna be like this cutesy wootsy girly one. No, man, it's totally like I feel for dudes. Like, it's more of us being a dude and like fucking up and like don't want to be seem like you're a pervert towards this girl you're into. And like he lives with some like big pervert and like this girl thinks he's a pervert and he's trying really hard to impress her. So it's really much like a guy's struggle.
Right.
And it's really funny in those regards. And then I'm also watching Black Bullet, which is a pretty awesome one, like about these infection that's spreading humanity's extinct just between these small walls, which a lot of people are saying it's like correlation between Attack on Titan and like people are like, it's ripping Attack on Titan off here because these people are trapped in a wall.
Oh,
give
me a break.
Yeah, I know.
You know,
the other one, which I'm super surprised about, which... is like probably my second favorite. Actually, no, it's probably my favorite. And then there's like Kawaii Complex is No Game, No Life. This show is like, it's probably my favorite. It's like these two, this brother and sister, are like these elite gamers. They're really great. They're playing this MMO. They're ranked number 1, 2, 3, and 4. They play 4 characters, both of them. They don't sleep. Like they've been playing for like 8 days in a row or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, we have to keep going to be the best. And they get brought into this game world. So there's a whole world that got created where everything in the entire world is determined by these 10 pledges, which all evolve around. Everything is determined by a game. If you cheat, you automatically lose. Anything that, I guess, you bet has to be given. You have to do it no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
That's the basis of it. So it seems like you can actually control people because we just found the second episode. He tells a girl he wants her to love him. And she ends up falling in love with him when she sees him, which is pretty funny. I was showing you like one of the scenes. It was like really hilarious.
There's something very special about it.
It was so good.
I feel like I could get into that. That reminds me of the kind of animes I used to watch.
I think you'd like it. It's good. It's got like some...
I like that slapstick kind of
It's
humor,
got slapstick,
you know?
But then it's got like some seriousness of him like trying to figure things out. Like he gets that whole... My gosh. Kitty. Then either one, I can't pronounce it. I think it's Brynhildr.
Let me see.
Probably Brynhildr.
Oh, yeah. Brynhildr.
Yeah, Brynhildr in the Darkness.
Heard of this one.
It's pretty interesting so far. This boy, he regrets, he thinks he killed his friend, and then all of a sudden this new girl comes to school, looks exactly like this girl he grew up with, but she's a witch. She's had some surgery put on her, like the special power she has. They did some surgery. We don't know what's happening yet.
Yeah.
It's pretty interesting so far. I'm wondering where this is going to go. Like, she's actually... one of them can predict when people die. So she's trying to save these people before they die. And it gets kind of dark sometimes. Well, a little bit so far. It has, like, a bit of a gothic kind of thing to it.
Isn't it supposed to be by the same creator of Elfin Lied? I believe so.
From the opening, I could believe it. I don't.
Yeah,
I'm terrible with like creator names, except Akira Toriyama, because I just know his name.
Whatever.
And then I'm also watching this other one, Chaika the Coffin Princess, which I'm watching it. I'm not sure if I'm going to stick with it though. I've been enjoying it so far. It seems interesting, but I'm going to give it a few more episodes.
Mm-hmm.
Then I also got, like, Captain Earth, which is done by Bones, which is kind of like their swan song to the mecha genre. It kind of encompasses, like, got their Gundam aspects to it and stuff, mm-hmm. and it seems pretty cool so far. It's beautifully animated, that's for sure. The guys at Bones, like, do an incredible job. I love their work.
Yeah.
Another one I'm watching is, like, Mechaku City Actors. That's another one. Only seen the one episode so far. So it kind of has some of that, like, that Evangelion thing where just, like, you have... the character's just talking, and then these beautiful, like, scenery shots. Like, they're almost, like... I can't think of the word. Almost, like, obscure, but, like... I can't think of it, but they have nothing to do with anything, like, mm-hmm. but they're just so beautiful to watch. And he stays at home all day, does his stuff on his computer. A computer virus he opened one day. This is a girl living there, and he's kind of his only interaction. He ends up going out so far, and this one day, terrorist attack happens, but these people end up appearing who seem to have, like, same computer kind of, like, know-how as him, mm-hmm. and they just help him with this task, and then he goes back home. I don't know where it's going so far, because first episodes, they tend to leave you hanging a bit.
Oh, yeah, always. It's the hook.
But that is what I'm watching right now, and that was a mouthful. I'm watching so much.
You are watching a lot. I don't know how you can do it.
I just come home every day, and I chuck Crunchyroll. What I did last time, I was last season, so I didn't finish anything. Oh, Kill la Kill is also what I'm watching. I need to finish. Okay. But last time, I just would try to save it all for one day. And then I realize I have to do other stuff in the day. Mm-hmm. So now I just get home and I check and I throw like 25 minutes here, 25 minutes there, and just watch it in bed.
That's good. See, I'm not good at doing a bunch of different things. It's usually one thing that I sit and I do for a long period of time. Right? Like Higurashi, I was watching like nonstop when I was recovering from my injury. And I just would not stop. Like, it was amazing though.
That's the hard thing for me is like... I like when I can watch it all and binge watch it.
Yeah.
But then I feel I'll stop sometimes. I'm like, okay, I'll watch like 6 hours of this. I'm not going to watch anymore now. But I still want to finish it. Like, I still really like it. But I think with this, though, it's still giving me enough. Like, I was never really one to watch week-to-week shows.
Yeah.
But this is the only way I get to watch these. Yeah. So I'm like, I'm not going to wait because I'll forget about them probably. And
exactly.
So sometimes I have to watch them now.
Sometimes it works out better that way, too. I do that with comics as well.
Yeah.
But, like, I did that for Nagi no Asakura, and it was actually really exciting having to know every Thursday at 11 in the morning there'd be a simulcast going on.
Yeah.
And I would actually make a tradition out of it, and I would make sure I wouldn't go to work until after the episode, or I would just work from home that day.
Yeah.
It was really funny.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so it's like, I just have to kind of look for that moment.
I just look here, because Crunchyroll has a nice thing where it tells you when the next episode's coming out, and it'll get down to like hours and minutes when it's coming out. Yeah. So I'll like check before I go to work and be like, what shows I get to watch when I come home. And it really gets me stoked.
Oh, bet. Yeah. It helps you like find something to look forward to each day.
In the dark.
And abyss. The fact that like how many days are some of these going? Because like you have a lot going at the same time.
Most of them seem to be roughly like, it seems that I'll get like one. I think the most episodes I get a day are two.
Okay.
So I have, like, it's not every day, but I have, like, every 2 days or so.
That's pretty good.
Like, the most recent one's going to be these two are coming out tomorrow. And then I have, like, 4 days from now, 2 days from now, another 2 days. This one's not showing up because apparently I didn't finish it, but... Hey, kitty. But, yeah, it's a nice thing. It's, like, it's kind of spaced out. Obviously, I didn't pick anime based on if it's spaced out, but it works out really nicely.
I'm sure someone does that. They do it like electives.
I can only have a Sunday anime. I can't have two Sunday anime. That's basically what we've been watching, I guess. So we've been talking now just over an hour. So like, probably gonna start winding this down. Like, so that's basically like our inaugural podcast. So we're trying to do this podcast. What were we saying? What, bi-weekly we were thinking? Like 2 weeks? 2 weeks works pretty good because then we have some time to do some stuff. Mm-hmm. We're hoping to bring like anime reviews and stuff as well. Mm-hmm. Maybe series we're watching now, or maybe with Funimation, like do some more stuff with them like we used to with some shows. Even maybe JRPGs or whatever. Anything kind of related to it.
We can do some gaming stuff.
We can because it still encompasses itself in the culture.
Oh, it does. Very much so. Correlates so well together.
Oh, yeah. And, I'm going to try to change up a bit. Not try to have the same formulaic thing. We're going to try to figure it out. We're still in the infancy, so probably, like, they say the first 10 episodes, you're still figuring things out.
Mm-hmm.
So, 6 months from now, we'll have everything down pat. So I'm like, just thinking of different ideas we can do. Like, I totally want to have involvement with you guys, like, community-wise. Like, again, we have our voicemail line at 817-717-7202, which I don't have access to. It's Mike who has access to it, so I'll make sure to keep asking him because it's his extra, like, phone number he has.
Oh, really?
But that's our Skype voicemail, so, like, you can always leave us an MP3 question or response, and I guarantee you it will be on here. Even if it's like, you're an asshole, I will play it.
Oh, yeah.
I will play it. Go for it. Because...
Go for it. You have to just deal because. With the I mean, honestly, that's it. That's like YouTube as well. You know? You take it all in, right?
Wear some white leggings for me, dear.
Oh, gosh, no.
So, yeah, anything you... Any, like, issues you have, we'll totally take anything into consideration to think about how we can better form this to the audience we have at hand. I was going to say, yeah, so we have our voicemail line there. So if you want to add anything to it, like, even if I'm thinking about, like, adding some, like, fun games into the show, like, we can have some response from you guys. It's like more future podcast ideas. I'm working on, like, doing some more audio editing and stuff for, like, a soundboard in there. So it's like Morning Zoo Radio. Mm. Whoa. I've been looking for... It took me an hour to find, like, a sound effect of a girl going, oh, kawaii. Because really? I thought that was, like, the funniest thing to, like, put, like, randomly, like, just play it in the middle kawaii. Of something. Just, like, things like that.
I like that.
I'm just trying to think of what ideas you'd like to see in the show. Like, what kind of shows.
You could just record my voice.
Okay.
I could just do it.
You could just do all the anime voices for me?
Yeah.
But then it'll be weird.
Arigato gozaimasu.
I'll put, like, a snippet of music behind it. Like, what else are you thinking maybe we could throw in for the future of this podcast?
All kinds of stuff.
Lost for words. That's right. All kinds of stuff.
I am lost for words.
But I think I'll probably hit it, like, some reviews and stuff. Just figure out some format. I totally want to, again, have community input, so I want to start off with the first question of the week. Bi-week. But you can email your answers to feedback@thisweekingeek.net, or actually, we could probably make it easier, and I'll put my personal Twig email, because we have something messy with the system where I won't get feedback emails. So probably just, you can do it to feedback if you want, or it's scottydoo@thisweekingeek.net, which I'll put my email address in the actual show notes, so if you want that, you can email your thoughts, and you can email me all the advertisements for penis enlargement, because that's probably what's going to happen. I'll get, like, penis enlargement emails after a while that I've given out that email address, or, like, do you want to get credit? But first question of the week is, what is your favorite anime or manga, be it series, film, book, anything? We want to hear from you what you're interested in, and we will read it next show we do, and if we don't get anyone's feedback, we'll just pretend like it never happened, because then we're not disappointed.
Oh, gosh.
We'll be like, yeah, so this week, what? There's no last week. What are you talking about? We didn't do anything.
I don't even know what you're talking about. Who are you again?
I don't know.
Yeah. Who am I? What are we even doing right now?
Oh, my God. Shinji.
It's just amnesia.
Well, Shinji, this is kind of existential here.
So, you guys, you better answer these questions, or we will get very angry at you.
Very angry.
I'll even talk about it on my weekly vlog. I'll be like, guys, you did not participate.
Oh,
I am very disappointed.
That's right. Welcome to all the MindBit viewers there.
MindBit is only like a part of it. It's
I like to throw MindBit in there because it sounds awesome.
It's
like,
Eric Acebo, mister.
Okay, I made you the MindBit character.
I know.
MindBit Studios, right now, but it sounds so cool.
Yeah, I wish. That'd be awesome. I should show you the shirts I made. Oh my god, I made a shirt.
I want to see this.
I'll show it to you.
Okay.
Okay.
So I think we've rambled enough here. So this has been the super awesome omega fun anime show, which I forgot the name of my own podcast for a second. But yeah, I probably should do this and throw out a thank you to sponsors over at This Week in Geek, GameAccess.ca. I don't know what the tagline we use anymore, but they got some good video games. And I know we have a code. I'm doing really bad at this. We have like a code or something. You can get 2 weeks free trial. It's pretty awesome. I did not write this part out yet. I just remembered I should do it.
Oops.
And then we got Starfleet, the Star Trek fan club, the biggest Star Trek fan club there is on the website, on the internet, the internets.
On the website.
Then we got Big and Tall Mart, where Mike Dodd gets them clothes. I think it's Geek 10.
Them clothes. 10%
off, orders of $50 or more. You're a tall guy, got them big legs, long, lanky legs. Gonna need bigger pants. Big and Tall Mart. I did advertising in college for a semester.
Oh, yeah.
I hated the people in my advertising class, so I quit.
I bet.
Alrighty, well, I've been Scotty Doo with my lovely co-host,
Erica Sabo.
And, we'll see you next week. 2 weeks. I'm not used to that. 2 weeks.
We'll see you in 2 weeks.
When we figure this shit out. Adios, amigos.
Bye.